Everybody, hi, welcome. I'm George Massey. Welcome to the George Massey Show. We're going to be talking The Last Resorts, episode 16. We got one episode of the show to go, so we're going to do the recommitment ceremonies next week. And somebody's not going to be there, actually two people. We already know Benny and Ariella aren't going to be there, but we're going to also get into the rest of the episode tonight. Oh, Cara's here. Cara's going to get in here, and we're going to talk about this. Hey, Gina's here, Tracy's here, Shake's here, Agma, I like that name. Hello, Agma, how are you? Joda's here. We didn't do last week, because remember last week, nothing really happened, and I skipped last week, so I couldn't skip this week, because we only have, like, one more episode to go, so we couldn't skip this week. Cara, I invited you, but you're not here. This happened to Gina last night, too, so there's something up with Instagram, because you requested and I accepted, but you're not here, so I think it has something to do with Instagram. Hi, Carmen, Gina. Yeah, last week was really boring. There wasn't really a lot to go off of. This week wasn't amazing either, but we're gonna discuss it because I know you're here, Cara. I don't know, for some reason it's not. Oh wait, I just accepted you for the second time. Let's see if it works. But it says Cara is unable to join. That's all it says. I don't know what's going on with that. So I'm going to re-invite you. Yeah, go back and come back in. Oh, there you are.
Internet is hard.
What's going on? So is it snowing there?
Is it snowing here? Yeah.
Is it bad?
I'm buried. I am buried. So We got 2 feet yesterday. I can leave because I drive a monster truck.
Well, don't leave, though. I don't think it's safe.
I don't want to. No.
So, we had tornadoes yesterday, but nothing happened here. But I guess the airport was closed and I lost power. We lost power this afternoon, which is scary because for us, during the day, it's like 100 degrees. So, you got to have your power during the day. If we lose power right now, who cares? It's like 58 degrees.
See, but if we lose power, we freeze to death. So...
I'm sorry. That sucks. I'm sorry. Okay, so this episode, we got some new info. So we know Benny and Ari are gone. They won't be at the recommitment ceremony. But we know that Natalie and Josh has finally called it quits on their fake relationship that we've been subjected to for the last 3 years. So I wanted
to... what did he say? Florian said, hallelujah, amen, and Jesus, Lord.
Yes. And
that's
my
what I said
thoughts...
when they broke up.
My thoughts exactly, because we've been strung along to this fake relationship for the past 3.5 years, and they finally have decided. And actually, Josh got a little respect from me tonight because he said, maybe it's my fault. Maybe I've been stringing her along. He actually admitted that he's been stringing her along this whole time. So I respect anybody that takes responsibility
for what they did.
Except
for she starts crying, and he goes, okay, I'll give you time and space, and walks off.
Well, no. I mean, Josh is Josh, yeah. Right? Like, we got to be real. Josh is Josh. He was filming this show while his son was in the hospital. So it is what it is, yeah. Right? We're not going to say that he's a saint, okay? He's definitely not a saint. But I'm just happy to know that this could possibly be, mark my words, the last time we see Natalie on our screens,
please.
Right?
Jesus, Lord, hallelujah, and amen.
And amen. This calls for a special Wednesday service, right?
I'd be drinking it.
I am very ecstatic to know that we may have seen the last of Natalie, because I think that between Natalie with Big Mike and then Natalie on The Single Life and then Natalie on Josh and then Natalie on The Last Resort, this is way more than we ever wanted to see her.
Yep.
And I feel like it's completely ridiculous that it took this long for this to finally happen. But if the cards are played right, this could be it,
yeah.
Right? Because she's already done The Single Life, okay?
Yep.
So we don't need her ever on any other show ever again.
Yeah.
Right? This has to be the end. This has to be her last spinoff. There's no reason why we need to see her on any other variation of this show.
Absolutely.
So we might be at the end of the road, and I'm really excited about that. But... so I want to talk about Gino's reaction tonight to the open relationship, because we obviously know Jasmine has been banging Matt because she's about to give birth to his child. But what if in the beginning, Gino was okay with it and knew about it? Because obviously Jasmine and Gino are not together right now. We know that Jasmine lives in Florida, Gino lives in Michigan. We know that they're not in a relationship. But what if in the beginning, before all of this became what it is now, what if Gino actually was okay with it at first? Do you think that there's a scenario where that ever took place?
No. I think Gino was forced into saying he was okay with it and that he would accept it. I think that he had so much pressure on him, which I'm so mad at these counselors, because why would they try to make it? Why did I read that as whole?
Wait, what did you read?
Where she said, hola. I thought she said, just came to say whole.
No.
It's okay, Kim. I'm special. It's
hola. Hola. Hey, Kim. Hey, bestie.
My glasses on, so I can't see shit.
Well, Gino made it seem like tonight that he was open to the idea, which is ironic because 3 episodes ago, if you remember correctly, she mentioned it to him and he said, if that's what you want to do, then we're not going to work because I don't ever want to be with a cheater. That's
so
literally.
I feel like because the sex therapist is in a whatever kind of ethical
ethical non-monogamous relationship.
Yeah, I think that's bullshit. I think she projected herself onto them and made Gino feel like a piece of shit for not accepting it because it's perfectly normal. Which it is not.
It's not.
But it's not. Perfectly normal because I do it. So I'm the counselor. Why would you not do it?
So
I feel like they forced him into it.
I do agree with you. I feel like they pressured him into, and they made it seem like, well, if you loved her, you would do this.
Yep.
And I think that that's where it got to be unfair because I think he does love her. I don't think she loves him, but I think that he does love her and he doesn't want to make it seem like, well, I wouldn't compromise. This isn't a compromise. Like, in my opinion, if 2 people dislike each other and they're married, you should get divorced.
Yep.
There is no real there's no real option other than getting divorced. If you can't look at someone or be intimate with someone, they make you sick to the point where you can't even touch them, you have to leave and be free from that person. So the idea that he's like, well, I want her to be happy, so I'm going to let her sleep with other people. If she's not happy just with you, then you have to get divorced. And I think that the idea of anyone in any relationship or marriage thinking that adding another person is going to fix your problems is like idiocracy.
Okay.
Right?
So did you see her whole reaction when she's going to call Matt for the first time and have Gino talk to him? And then she starts crying. As soon as she starts saying, I know how I'm going to feel when I have to do this with you. She's already jealous, and Gino's not even looking at anybody else.
Well, she knows that Gino's not the type of person that would ever do this.
Right.
So it's easy to say, you know, you're allowed to do it as well when you know they're never going to do it. She knows that that's never going to be the case. So I'm wondering, when did this turn into her just being with Matt exclusively? Because I'm wondering, because obviously she was sleeping with him. I'm convinced she was sleeping with
him. Rob said it best. Rob absolutely said it best. The night you get home, she's out.
Well, if you have already scouted the person you want to have sex with.
Yeah.
Without getting the permission of your husband, I think it's pretty clear what's going through your mind. Because let's say, for instance, they both had this conversation. They came to an agreement. That should have been the first time that she considered finding someone. After you know that your spouse is okay with it, after you know that you both are in agreement, you don't go out while you're still in a committed marriage looking for other people to have sex with. She not only did she go out and look, she found someone and they're lined up in waiting. They're literally on her beck and call. Like that just shows premeditation. Right? Like, you know how there's murder and then there's premeditated murder? She literally went out with the intention long before he ever agreed to it to cheat on him. That's what makes it wrong.
Absolutely. There were so many things that she kept saying. My list is so long of Jasmine isms, if that's even a word today. I just made it a word. It's good. There was so many different things that she kept saying. I cannot with her. Okay. When I don't have feelings for him, he's just a friend. How did that work out for you? Now you guys are having a freaking baby together?
Yeah, friends. I have lots of friends. None of them are carrying my baby.
Yeah.
None. Literally. Not one. Literally. And none of them even almost did. I have lots of friends. None of them have ever. Oh, wait. I have to address this comment real quick. Shake says, I really don't understand how Gino thought this process would work either. How did he think it was ever going to work out by not having sex with his wife? Okay, I understand this stance too, because a marriage, you are mentally, physically, emotionally connected, right? All of these things. All of those things have to be in sync in order for this to work. So Gino does hold some responsibility. Marrying someone and then refusing or withholding sex from them, that is going to push them into the arms or lap of somebody else. I agree with that. But I think it's only fair to mention that she's belittled him in every possible human way, from making him feel less than a man, making him feel inadequate, making him feel like he's bad at sex. Everything that a person can do to make you feel like you're not good enough, she's done to him. So it's not like he's like, I'm just going to withhold sex because I'm mad at her. I don't even think he could have sex with her if he tried, because he's just not attracted to the ugly thing that lives underneath her skin. Her soul is so evil and mean. I don't think that he would be able to perform just based on the interactions that he's had with her. I think that he literally can't stomach her presence. That's how she has made him feel. And yeah, I don't disagree. If you don't have sex with your spouse or you refuse sex with your spouse, there is a possibility they will get it from somewhere else. Human beings they have needs, just like an animal. Animals mate with other animals. Humans have to mate too. It is right. What it is. I'm not going to fault that, but I think that the way that she treated him is why he wants nothing to do with her.
I agree completely. Also, according to her, she's been here for 9 months, right? I mean, we know this was a long time ago, but she's been
So this was almost 2 years ago. That's crazy, right?
So in that 9 months, I still don't see your children here, but yet you're still having a baby, not only not with your husband, but with somebody else while your other kids are being raised by someone else in a different country. I have no respect at all.
See, we've seen this happen on the show a lot, right? And we're dealing with it again with Mina and her son Clayton that she left behind. And I just don't understand how you can leave someone behind. You know, like, and I get it. They're like, oh, well, the K-1 visa has an expiration date, so I have to go. And it's like, if you really care about, because Clayton's been there. This is her son. She gave birth to him. He was there way before Mark existed in her universe. Yep. I feel like Mark could just apply for another K-1 visa when the paperwork is ready for everybody, right? Absolutely. Like, I just don't understand how they're like, well, I have to jump right now or this can never happen. You can apply for another K-1. Just let that one expire and apply for another. You know you can get approved because you already got approved. Yep. Why would you leave your child? Because once they leave them, have you noticed that it seems really easy for them to never send for them?
To just move on and not even
Yeah, that's because that's literally what's happened in every instance. It happened with Larissa. And remember, Larissa said a lot about it when she was leaving. She's like, I'm going to miss them. I'm going to bring them over as soon as I can. This is not, you know, me leaving them. And they're still not here. It's like once you leave them, it's like you rip the Band-Aid off. And then all of a sudden you can just move on without them. And that's horrible, because these are actual children that are trying to live and develop minds and a life without their parent. But their parent is not only absent from their life, but they're all over TV and social media. So you're watching them live this life without you.
And
so you're going to have that.
Not speaking of them at all. We're having marital problems because I'm really missing my children and I'm very withdrawn. No, it's not anything about any of that. It's literally all about her. I cannot.
Yeah, the fact that she's pregnant. And I think starting a new family is what irritates me more. Because, like, Larissa didn't bring no more kids here, right? Yeah. Like, she knew better. She's like, if I'm not going to bring the ones that I have over here, I'm sure as hell not going to start a new family. Because that's what would take the cake for me.
she's pregnant with another kid and she's not thinking about bringing him over. And we know it's not a money issue because we know Jasmine is making quite a bit of money now. Okay, when she first got here, and Gino was in charge of the finances or whatever, that's one thing, but she's making quite a bit of money now, so it's not a money issue.
She was making money then. She was making money hand over fist when she got here. That was all a freaking storyline.
She was on OnlyFans before she got here. You're right. She was making money, her own money, way before she got here. And the story that she tried...
She was on season 942 of some spinoff of 90 Day. So, yeah, she was fine.
Yeah. It's not because she blamed it on Gino. And I was like, well, Gino is the one that files your paperwork. But as a mother, what stops you from filing paperwork, right?
You borrowed $10,000 from your ex for your ass. You can pay for some damn paperwork.
Pay a lawyer to do it, right? Like if you can drop 10 G's on a BBL, you can drop $3,500 to pay a lawyer to get your children over here. Yep. Like it's not even, why would it even be a one or the other, right? Like the fact that she paid that much money and walking around with this upside down butt just shows that she doesn't care, right?
Literally.
Like, because that would be a slap in the face. Like, you literally wasted all that money on Robin says zero respect. Yeah, Jasmine's getting no respect from anybody at this point, right? Like, the way that she treated Gino, the way that she is leaving her kids over there to be raised by someone else, I can't even imagine. You know, my dad and mom divorced, but my dad lived 25 minutes away, right? Like, it wasn't like he was on another side of the planet living his best life. I could see him if I wanted to. You know, like, I can't imagine what these kids are going through. Their mother is on TV living their best version of their lives, just it doesn't involve you. You know, like, I don't even know how that would make a child feel.
Yeah, it's sad. But also, could you imagine your mom leaves you behind? And not only are you just watching her on TV, but you're watching her on the last resort of all things.
Yeah. I mean, Jasmine is definitely... And you know what? I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. The Jasmine that when the show's first premiered and the Jasmine that we met, and if you compare that person to the person that we see on TV right now, they're not the same person.
Not at all.
She has turned into a monster.
I really liked her in the beginning.
That's what's interesting is she was a likable character, and people actually related to her. And now nobody can relate to anything that she's doing. She's literally a monster. They created a monster. And the things that she actually has turned into a troll.
Yeah.
She goes online and she posts troll stuff because she's still posting that her and Gino are in an open relationship knowing that she's clearly with this other guy and they're having a baby and Gino has nothing to do with that. And it's like, she's turned into this character. And it's like, when are you going to just be a normal human being and be a mother and take responsibility for your part in this?
She is not. She never will.
She was a crazy jealous monster before. Yeah, she was. She was a crazy jealous monster. And now she's the monster. She's not jealous because you know that she doesn't actually care about Gino. That's why, because in the beginning, I think she might have actually cared because jealousy only comes from a place of care, right? You're not going to be jealous of someone you don't care about.
Yep.
So when she was acting the way that she did, I think that she really did have feelings for him, but now you can see that those feelings have dissipated to nothing. She has no feeling for him. She doesn't care what she does. She posted a picture of him a few months ago with his hat off, sleeping with the little patch in the back of his head everything she does is to humiliate this man.
Yep.
And I think that's what, it bothers me because I know that their relationship didn't work out and they had issues, but he still did a lot for her. And the fact that her main goal is to humiliate him there's no low that she won't stoop to. She's humiliated him on every level that you can think of. It shows the level of hate and disrespect that she has for people that really have done a lot for her. He did do a lot for her. Right?
Yeah.
It's not like she got over here and did all this for herself. He had a hand in the life that she has. So why can't you don't have to kiss his ass, but you could also just be respectful.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. I'm assuming she broke the written agreement.
Oh, the contract? The written contract?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Josh and Natalie are done, and Rob has really taken a strong stance of as a Team Gino person, and he was the one that really spoke out tonight when Gino was saying that he was okay with the open relationship, because Rob was like, you're not, this isn't gonna work, this is disrespectful, this is below you, and yeah. you shouldn't be letting people talk you into doing something that you're not gonna be okay with. And it's funny because everybody disliked Rob for a long time, and Rob
I could not stand that guy first season, and now I'm 100% Team Rob.
Well, Rob is really showing us that the show can paint you to be something that you're absolutely not.
Yep.
Because that first season that he and Sophie did, I couldn't stand him. Everybody else hated him. They thought he was a loud, angry, abusive piece of garbage. And now each time that we get to know him a little better, he's turning out to be the most decent guy.
Right.
Like, other than Florian.
I love Florian.
Right? Like, he's pretty decent. Like, Rob really does stand up for what's right.
Yeah.
He doesn't want people taking advantage of people. And even in his situation where he's with Sophie, or was with Sophie, he was taken full advantage of, obviously. But he's really taken a stand for Gino. And at the tell-all, he's going to really take a stand for Gino. And I respect that. I think that you have to stand by what's right.
Absolutely.
You need to be on the right side of things. And the people who are standing with Jasmine, you're not on the right side of things. And
no.
I get that you might be friends with her. You might like her as a person. You're not standing on the right side of history with this. Jasmine has done some evil, terrible things, and you know, if you're standing with her, you're supporting the things that she did, you know. And I can't support that. You know, Jasmine and I used to be friends back in the day. We're definitely not friends anymore.
Yep.
I can't support that. I can't support the things that she's doing.
Yeah, she's a terrible human being. Rob's doing a good job though. Rob's really trying, even though we know that didn't work out. But
there was no way for it to work out, because Sophie didn't want it to work out. And she went there with the intentions of not. She said it on the first episode. She's like, Rob and I are here as friends. And I think that's how Rob and her relationship has been since the day she landed in this country.
Yeah.
I think it's always been, I'm here to use Rob for whatever I can get. I think that was always her intention. And, you know, I respect it. If you're a gold digger and you're good at what you do, I respect you.
Right.
I respect it. But you are using people, and people are not just containers of money or benefits or opportunities. They have feelings. So at the end of the day, you have to live with the fact that you treat people like crap, right?
Yeah.
You have to own up to the fact that you do horrible things to get what you want.
Yeah, she's been unbearable this season too.
Well, it pissed me off. She said that her word was confusion or confused. And I was like, what is there to be confused about? Either you want to be with him or you don't, right?
Yeah, like, she never has from the beginning. She's never
Or if do you want to forgive him or you don't? Because she's like, well, he's been talking to other girls. I was like, because y'all were literally separated and living apart and living in different
places.
You
moved in with your actual girlfriend. You were sleeping with your actual girlfriend. Yeah,
but
he has every right to move on.
But she's angry because she's like, oh, well, he's talking to other girls. It's like, well, if I was married to somebody and they moved out and I haven't seen them in 9 months, I have every right to talk to whoever the hell I want.
Yep.
Because I don't even know where you are. I don't know. You could be doing way more than talking. You're literally living with a girl who's in love with you. She said it on the show. She said she's in love with you. She said if she wasn't with you, they would be together.
Yep.
And you're living with her. So you would be lucky if all I was doing was talking to people.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I have no loyalty. I have no loyalty to you. If you packed your shit and left me high and dry, why would I sit around and wait for you to come back?
Man,
right? Like, come on
that
now.
Door would have slammed so hard right behind you.
Hey, Aileen.
Yeah, no way. No way. She's been horrible from the jump. When Josh and Natalie broke up, I think the best part, you know, I enjoyed seeing her suffer, but the best part of it was Stacy trying to squeeze out tears over it. I just could not. She couldn't get her lips to pout. She couldn't. None of it. She was trying so hard, and she couldn't.
Well, why would she even be crying about that? What does that have to do with her? Because I was like, what does that have to do with you? I was like, you literally met them like a week ago.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you don't even know them. You don't even follow them on Instagram. Like, what are you mad about? Like, that's like when Ari and Benny broke up. It's like, who's gonna cry about that? That's like a party situation. That Benny has been trying to rid himself of this succubus for so long. And yes. He finally, not only did he get rid of her, but he got his passwords back. And look, after he got his passwords back, he was able to get booked to perform at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You
see that? Like, yeah, this man is able, he's able to accomplish so much more without this negative person attacking his happiness and his aura. And it's like, Ari, she's the type of person that sucks the life out of people.
Yep.
So watching... Yes, so watching them interact, and you could tell he was so sick of her shit. Like, because he literally was so done with her, and every time she's like, you need to admit you cheat on me. And he's like, so what? We're broken up. We're not going to be together. And, you know, when you met me, I was dating someone else.
Yeah.
So even if I did cheat on you, that should have been expected.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why do I need to admit that I supposedly cheated on you almost 4 years ago? What
I cheated on you when you took my child and went to my home country and left me in your home country. Yeah, I cheated on you, if that's what you want to call it.
Well, right, but what is the change? Oh, wait, Concert Virus says, why do you think Gino stayed that long married to her? What was in it for him? Number one, the show pays decent. And I think number two, I actually believe Gino did love Jasmine. I don't think that this relationship started out as any
I think he had a point to prove to his family, because his family kept saying she's a gold digging whore and she's using you, and he's like no. Man, he just had to try to make it for 9 months.
Lord, they were right though. They were so right. Like, you know how you go to a psychic and you walk in and they just say something right off the back and you're like, Jesus Christ, did you grow up with me? Right? Like, they were so right. His family called it within 10 seconds of meeting her. They were like, she's a gold digging whore. And he was like, whoa. They were right. They knew literally what they were talking about. But you're right. When people clock something like that, you do feel like you need to prove them wrong.
Extra hard to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
Because they've been putting you down so long. Like,
it hurts.
It's just one of those things.
It hurts to know that her judgment was that off, right? So I feel like he put in a little extra effort to try to make things last or work, because it's the I told you so from people. It very much drains you when you do something and people tell you, I told you so. It's a very hurtful statement, especially from family. It means a little more from family, because family is always there and looking out for you. So when they say it, it makes you feel extra stupid for doing those things.
Absolutely.
But my gosh, that was a hell of a lot to put up with for some money and love, not me. Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at all of these relationships, look at Florian and Stacey. Look at all that he has to put up with to be in that relationship. Stacey and Darcy are not the easiest people to deal with. And Florian and Georgie, I call Florian and Georgie saints all the time, because they are doing the Lord's work. Absolutely. Dealing with women that are so full of themselves, that need so much attention, that need to be catered to 24/7, that are always looking to start a fight with you. Those men are doing the Lord's work. You know, like, they're not, I appreciate the effort that they put in, because the money and the lifestyle that they get, they deserve more than what they're getting. Because some people are like, oh, well, if Stacey and Darcy didn't have all that money, they wouldn't be with them. Like, of course they wouldn't. This is their trade-off for all of the things that they have to put up with. They're earning that life. They might not work from 9 to 5, but they are working very hard to keep those two women happy, because those two women are not happy naturally, okay?
Right.
They don't just wake up in the morning in a good mood. That takes some effort.
I don't care who you're watching, what show you're watching, what spinoff you're watching, what extra person you're watching. You can tell when a scene is... I know the show is not scripted. I get it. But you can tell when it's guided by production, what they should and shouldn't say.
Oh, well, you weren't here last night. We talked about this.
Sorry.
We talked about it last night, that scene with Megan at the bar. You could tell that was in 100. When she confronted one about you could tell that was 100% production driven. They sat them down and they told her, you need to ask him this question. You could absolutely tell.
Yep, absolutely. So you can tell when it's production driven. There has never, ever, ever, ever been a point that something that came out of Florian's mouth was production driven. That guy says,
oh yeah,
exactly like he sees it. He doesn't give two shits. He calls everyone
Florian. Florian is an uncoachable person. You know, if you are a team, like say you're a soccer coach, football coach, whatever, Florian is uncoachable.
Yep.
He's a loose cannon. He's gonna, whatever play you tell him to do, he's not gonna do it. Whatever you tell him to do, he's not gonna do it. Whatever practice you tell him to show up, he's not gonna show up to. He's an uncoachable person. So he's a loose cannon. The fact that they put him on the show is a huge risk because Florian does not play by their rules. He says what he wants to say, whether it's true or not, whether it's what production wants or not, he just says exactly what he wants to say. And I think that is probably why they haven't been on TV for so long.
I love it. Every scene Florian's in, I will watch every scene. Even when Stacey's in it, I'll still watch it just so I can see what's going to come out of Florian's mouth.
Florian, he's literally a normal person that got caught up in the reality TV world. I say that
he
all the time.
He is totally one of my favorites.
He don't know anything about it. And he could care less if he gets casted on another show or not. He really doesn't care. Megan basically did admit. She said that conversation wasn't the first time they had that conversation. She basically said that. I don't want to get in trouble or anything, but she said that wasn't the first time that conversation was had, but that when we saw it on TV, that was what that scene needed to be. Yeah. So that's what she gave them. She gave them what they needed, and that was what they wanted to work with. So, about that one situation, how do you feel about that? One cheated on Jessica, because we were under the impression that it was a rumor, because I know you weren't here yesterday, so I wanted to see what you thought.
My heart hurts to hear him admit it. I mean, I thought he did, but I was like, okay, what? It makes me sad. But to know that Jessica didn't sleep with her ex, but was good. I mean, sounds like Jessica and Juan were on a very rocky territory and they were going separate directions, but then ended up back together. So that's my take.
So Megan said that this was a year and a half before they got married. Nobody was pregnant. Nobody was engaged.
Yeah.
So this was early on in the relationship. And, you know, if you want to get technical, maybe he looked at it as this is just a girl that takes cruises every now and then that I'll hook up with.
Yeah.
And maybe she also felt the same way. She's a working mother with kids. Maybe she didn't.
But also, like we've been over it before, that was during COVID times. So there was a period of time where they just couldn't see each other, whether they wanted to or not.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you're in a relationship with. If you're in a long distance relationship for an extended period of time and you just slowly stop talking, shit happens, you know?
Speaking of Jessica. Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
We were just talking about
Oh, my God, my ears are burning.
Right, because Cara wasn't here yesterday, so we were talking about this bombshell that we got dropped on. Well, we got dropped the bombshell. You didn't. You already knew about this. But we found out that it did happen. One did cheat on you. And, you know, we feel some type of way because we're very invested in your relationship. So, you know, we didn't like it, right? And we were all like little junior Megans last night. Like, we were all mad about it and we wanted to yell about it for you.
I yelled. I was like, God, he made me look stupid.
I said
there's no way.
I think what made it a little better for me is how early on it happened in the relationship. Because the more serious you are, then those type of things are worse. Like, if they were already engaged or if she was pregnant when it happened, it would have had a whole different effect for me. Yeah. But since they were just, you know, casually dating, it wasn't serious. He hadn't proposed to her. She wasn't pregnant. There was no plans of getting a K-1 visa. None of that. It made it a little less of a blow for me.
I will stand by it. I don't care who you're in a relationship with, and I don't want to say their names because they're very good friends of mine. But, Jessica.
Don't tell me that. No.
No,
I don't need any of that information. I didn't need to know y'all were engaged. I like the story better the way I told it.
So I'm not going to say their names because they're very good friends of mine and I don't want in the middle of this shit. But I know people that have been in a long distance relationship for a lot of years, and it didn't work. And because they were separated for so long, it just didn't work. And they were so madly in love. That was the one love story I wanted to see just happen, and it didn't. And we all know it crumbled, and that's just so sad to me. So,
yeah.
I no matter how far apart you are, if you start falling off or someone else gets involved, shit happens, especially during COVID.
Yeah, none of us can attest to what it's like dating somebody so far away and not being able to see them, no matter what you do, the law or whatever, or COVID, whatever barriers there are, they're preventing you from having that physical relationship. I can never know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to date somebody on a cruise ship, and I can only see them when I'm on a cruise ship. First of all, Carl, I can't swim. I wouldn't get on a cruise ship. So the relationship would be wrong, and it would be damned from the beginning, because if the only way we're going to see each other is on water, then we're already broken up, because I can't risk it. I'll get on a plane.
You will never.
But I can't get in the water.
You will never be with a mermaid. We got it.
I have to say, when people are in relationships for years, long distance relationships, I can't. Cheating is not, I don't want to say not as severe, but when you live together or you live near each other and you're cheating on each other versus if you live thousands and thousands of miles away.
That's different. That's so different. I don't ever condone cheating, obviously. Obviously. But if we live in the same house or the same city, for that matter, and that happens, you are dead to me.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if you're in a relationship and you're 1,500 miles away from each other, and the only way you can see each other is like a 12-hour flight, and you slip up, right? You slip up. I'm not saying you're in love with anybody or you started a new relationship with anybody, but you slip up. It's not the same as if you left your house where your spouse is sleeping to go sleep with someone else. That's way worse in my book. Because and then you come home to them after you cheated, that's way worse to me. That's just worse.
Okay, Jessica, if it happened now, he's in our country.
Yeah, he better be very careful, because Kara knows where you are, right? Well, Jessica says if he cheated on me now, that's game over. I don't think he would. Like, let's be real.
I don't think he would either, but now he's in our country, he better not even look sideways.
The guy she met on that cruise ship is a totally different guy now. He's a dad now. He has so much more. His life is completely different. And the person that he was when that happened all those years ago, he's not even the same person. Once he held his baby for the first time, he transformed into a completely different guy. Yeah. I didn't believe he cheated then, but I really, if Jessica said right now he cheated on her, I wouldn't believe her. I would need hard evidence. Right? I wouldn't believe her, because I was like, he has so much more riding on this relationship and everything. Not like, I really wouldn't believe you.
Absolutely. I there's no way he would. I don't think that there's any way he would now. I mean, I hope so for his sake.
Well, yeah, because we know where you are.
Yeah.
And Kara and I are not above hopping on a plane or hopping in the car and coming up to visit. We're not above it.
I will drive out of the snow right now.
Megan will meet us and we'll handle things, right? Handle things our way. Thoughts on the thruple? I think the girlfriend wants just a guy thinking about divorcing. Oh yeah, the thruple from the OG 90 Day. Yeah, well, I have a lot of thoughts and theories on that. I think that the girl Annie, she works in a Hong Kong strip club. It's called Hong Kong Strip Club in Tijuana. And we looked up the company and the reviews, and apparently for $200 you can take a girl up to a room and do whatever you want. So I think that she's not really looking for a relationship. I think she's looking for whatever they can offer her. I don't think that she's looking to be with all three of them or build a life with them. She might come over here and figure out a way to make money, but I think she has ulterior motives.
It's the same country kind of thing, but just turning my head, all I can hear is Larissa, and I cannot stomach that woman. As soon as she started talking, I was like, I cannot with these thruple. Did you read that thing that came out allegedly
about the nanny?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did hear it. And I don't know. I don't know a lot about them, but the random things that I hear here and there about them, it doesn't seem out of character for what I've heard. And, you know, they were on another TV show called How to Be Rich on Netflix. And now they're on this TV show. And when I read it, I was just like, I want to get this girl on and I want to talk to her. I want to ask her questions. Because she was like, I'm not afraid to tell people who they really are. And I was like, see, this is what I need. Because I want to know what's really going on. I'm trying to figure out who she is because she's on Reddit. So I've messaged her and I want to get her on. I just want to ask her, you know, the scene where Peter meets Meg's boyfriend or the guy that knocked Meg up on Family Guy and he gets the shotgun. He's like, I just want to talk to her. I just want to talk to her. I just want to talk to her. I just want to ask her, you know, just what's going on. Tell me what it was like living with these people, you know, because she has a very unique outlook on their lifestyle and their relationship. And she said that the way that they treat each other and the way that they do things in front of their kids. Like, I have so many questions that I want to hear. Yeah, that's the first thing.
Awesome.
It's in the works. I messaged the account that posted it and hopefully we can get a hold of her somehow. And even if she wants to do an audio only, like if she doesn't want to show her face, you know, because the situation, we can do an audio only where we can just speak to her and let her voice it in her own words. Like, I would definitely be open to that. Fingers crossed. We're going to talk to her.
I'd love to hear it from her mouth.
Oh, and Friday on the 9-Day Fiancé Fridays podcast with Shabuti and I, we're going to be speaking with Lindsay Ryder and Tara, the girl with the red hair, and Lindsay Ryder. Remember that photo that went viral a week and a half ago?
Yeah.
Gino, Lindsay. So they're going to come on and tell us all about their situation with Jasmine and Matt. And apparently, Matt has a twin brother. So we're going to get into all of that and how they knew him and they worked at the landing strip or then he worked at the landing strip. There's this whole story. So we're going to get into that Friday as well. It sounded like a slave trade. It did. Yeah. It did. That's what I was going to say. And referring to her with that word, I really have questions.
Yeah.
And it definitely opened my eyes. All right. So next week, recommitment ceremonies for The Last Resort people. We already know what's going to happen because we know who was cast on The Last Resort Single House. So it's not a pertinent thing that you watch it, but following that is the tell-all where things get crazy and interesting. So you have to watch the tell-all. We're definitely going to be watching that. And if you don't like Rob, you'll probably like Rob a little bit more after this tell-all because he's definitely...
I love Rob now. I love that guy.
He's standing up and he wants to be. Right? It's funny because I didn't like him at first either. I used to love Sophie and now Sophie has me blocked. And I'm a Team Rob person, right? So it's crazy, right? It's funny how things just completely turn around. We were following each other and talking all the time. Now she hates me and I hate her. And it's totally mutual, right? So I'm totally fine with that. All right, so we'll be back on Sunday. We'll be talking episode 6.
912.
Well, I think we're on episode 6 now of the OG 9-Day Fiancé, right?
Resort.
Oh, next week will be 17.
Yeah,
17, the finale. And then we'll be back on episode 6 of the OG 9-Day Fiancé, which, guys, in my opinion, this is a pretty good season.
It's getting really good.
I have minimal complaints. Like, other than the throuple couple, I'm very happy with what's going on.
We'll be back. Throuple couple at all.
They're boring. And it's funny because they were supposed to be the front runners for the show. And I think it's all BS. All right. So make sure you're following Cara. I'm going to tag him this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, GeorgeMassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. Thank you for watching. And we'll talk to you guys really soon. Bye.